Here's the managing general and executive vice president of the Detroit Red Wings. Here's Ken Holland. So have you even seen a minute of the Stanley Cup final? Have you been paying attention at all?
I watched game three. I didn't see game one and two because Grant was over in Grand Rapids for Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So I saw game three.
Give us your professional conclusion of what you saw.
Well, game three, obviously Boston looked real good. They didn't give up many scoring chances. They were definitely the better team in that game. But, you know, game four, another game. You know, it's these seven-game series. Sometimes you think one team is in control and it swings the other way. So obviously a huge game four.
So here's an issue that came up earlier, Kenny. Chicago Blackhawks can play any different styles, but when you think of the Chicago Blackhawks and you think of their premier players, obviously Kane, Taves, Hossa among them, is the expectation on these guys too high, or is the performance of these guys less than what you would associate with a premier player?
I don't know. They're great players and they got a great team. They had the best start in the history of the National Hockey League.
That's right.
The league's been around 90 years. So, they got a great team. I didn't see the East as much. Obviously this year was like two leagues. I thought it was, the West was real hard to score. Chicago obviously led our conference in goals. And then I think, Anaheim was second, and then there was a lot of teams that were sort of clustered. It was just hard to score goals. It's a lot of 2-1 and 3-2 games. I don't know why. It seemed there was a little more scoring in the East. I don't know if it's because there's more superstars in the East, but I think the West is a little tighter checking. It's just hard. It's hard for the top guys to get a lot of points. A lot of times the media wanted. The Chicago Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they beat Minnesota. They were down 3-1 to us. They beat and came back. They beat the defending Stanley Cup champs, the LA Kings. They're playing. They've got a good hockey team, and they got a lot of good players. They're very deep. They're four lines deep. They're three pairs deep. They got a good team, and again, they're down 2-1, but. Game four is huge. They win that game and they're back in charge. I think the expectations at times are too high because a lot of times the best players on both teams neutralize one another.
Ken, I want to ask you about a little bit of Detroit Red Wings business. You just concluded a contract extension with Pavel Datsyuk, which you guys got to be thrilled about. I just wonder how, you got a guy who's 35, one of the best players in the game, a year away from the open market. Would have the option of going to the highest bidder in the NHL or go to the KHL, I guess, if he had that and if he felt like it. How does that conversation begin with Pavel Datsyuk, and what are the kind of determining factors for him deciding, I want to effectively finish my career with the Detroit Red Wings?
Well, Pavel's come out a number of times in the past, fortunately for us, saying that he only had two options. He was going to stay in North America in the NHL. He wants to be with the Detroit Red Wings. We included a no movement clause because that's important to him. He wants to play his entire National Hockey League career with one team. When we came back in January, 2-3 times, I had a couple of brief conversations with Gary Greenstein, his agent, and I got the sense in those brief conversations that they were prepared to engage in some type of negotiations at the conclusion of the season because we can't officially sign an extension until July the 5th. So last week, Pav came in. We had our exit interviews. Pav and I talked. They told him we'd like to sign him to an extension. Basically, in that meeting, Pav and I agreed that three-year term made him happy and made us happy. And the next day, Gary Greenstein, his agent, called, and we went to work and ultimately finalized, agreed to a three-year extension. So, we're thrilled. He's 35 years of age in July 20th. So it's 35 to 38. We've had good luck with older players. You think about Chelios and Hossa. Chelios and Hasek and Yzerman and Lidstrom and Larionov. They were great players. And you think about Timo Solani and Jagr and Martin Brodeur, players that play into their 40s. Pavs a superstar. He's a superstar because he's a great player at both ends of the ice. He's not going to win any scoring titles, but he's going to be a guy that, of all the offensive players in the league, he's probably the best defensive player of the offensive players. He competes. He trains hard in the gym. So I'm not worried about his age, and we're thrilled. I think it's a great day for the Red Wings today to know that he's going to be going to we're going to have him in our lineup for the next four seasons.
I got to say, I'm not just saying this because we got you on, Kenny, to be nice, but it's a tribute to your organization that you have been able, that the Wings have been able, in the era, free agent era, have been able to keep guys, have guys choose, you know, Hall of Fame players choose to play out their entire careers as Red Wings. You know, Lidstrom, Yzerman, and Datsyuk only play in your uniform. That's, you know, that's saying something about being a Detroit Red Wing, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd like to think, you know, we've got incredible ownership. You know, our owners are committed, you know, from the time they bought the franchise in the 80s to wanting the Red Wings to be, you know, a team that represents the city with great pride. And we took a while to get her going in the 80s, and I think we've had it going pretty good since the early 90s. Tremendous fan base. You know, for the most part, we're sold out every night. We've gone through a tough economy the last number of years. We're starting to pull out of it here the last 2-3 years, but through it all, great support. We travel well when we go on the road. There seems to be a lot of Red Wing fans. And then, you know, our scouts have done a great job. You know, Pavlik, I think, was a seventh rounder. Zetterberg's a sixth rounder. Jonathan Erickson's the last pick in the draft in 2002. You know, Franson's in the third round. Philip was in the third round. So Jimmy Howard, late second. So our scouts have found players, you know, beyond the first round that have allowed our team to be competitive. And I think as an athlete, you know, you want to know that the organization, the ownership, is committed to winning, which our ownership is. You want to have the opportunity to play with some other good players so you have a chance going to the rink that you believe if you play your best game, you can win every night. And then obviously you love to be in a market where there's passion for the team, and we got that. So I think that, you know, all the things are in place. And Detroit's a great place to live. You know, my wife and I have lived there since 1995, basically raised our kids. Great people, passionate about all the sports. And I think it added up all together. And, you know, Chris Draper's retired and stayed there. Chris Chelios has retired and stayed there. And we've had a lot of players that have retired and have made Detroit their home. So I think there's a lot of reasons to feel good about Detroit. And we feel real fortunate that we've had some great players and they've wanted to stay.
With Ken Holland, the Red Wings general manager and executive VP. When the salary cap was introduced, Kenny, some years ago, one of the stipulations was that no individual player could make more than 20% of the total salary cap. And there were many of us who presumed that that limit would be met by at least a handful of players. In the early days, there were a number of players. I don't know if anybody got the 20. I don't think anybody got 20, but they were pretty close. What we've seen of late is players willing to sign, premier players, star players, superstar players, willing to sign contracts for tangibly below that number. I think Pavel, even though it's age 35, fits into that category. So the salary cap at 20% of $64 million next year would be $12.8 million a year. You get them for a little more than half of that. Is there a strategy here? How does a general manager manage to have that 20% number out there? And I'm sure that there have been agents that have mentioned it and managed to get guys to roll back to something less than that 20.
Well, I think it's education. I think that all the players and the agents and the general managers, you know, we're a team sport. You know, in basketball, you're probably going to have three or four players, and you can have one of the elite teams in the league. You at least need three lines. You need four or five defensemen. You need a top goalie. You know, you need 13, 14 real players to have a chance to win every night and have a chance to go for a long. You know, these two teams that are playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, Boston and Chicago, they're both four lines deep. They both got six defensemen that can put on the ice. So I think that, you know, in the early gone, 05, you know, maybe I think there was a player or two that had, like you said, was close to the 20%. But I think everybody has found out in short order that, you know, there's a bit of a formula. I think everybody in the industry sort of accepts that the formula, if you want an opportunity to be on a good team, you got to take a little bit less than you think you might be worth on the open market. And ultimately, a lot of where you're leaving money on the table, those teams are spending the money for their teammates because you're going to the cap anyway. So I think it's just that we all understand the system and what it takes. And obviously, Bob, what a lot of players have done, we did it with Zetterberg. You know, we give Z 13 years. Now you can't do that anymore.
Max
is, but you know, you end up giving a lot of term and it's a lot of security.
We don't have much time to discuss it, but it's fascinating. Is it a topic that still comes up? Do you have to have conversations with either players or agents to explain to them, I can't, your guy may be worth the cap or near to it, but if he wants to play on a winning team, he's going to have to take something a little bit less. Do you actually have that conversation, Kenny?
In most negotiations, I think it's an education process. You know, because, I talk to the agents, you know, the more, obviously, the star players, you know, many times with Henrik Zetterberg, I did it with last week with Pav and showed him what we're trying to do, you know, and some of the agents sometimes, but certainly I think it's an education. They need to understand if they think they're leaving money on the table, I think they're okay with it as long as they know what the plan is and what they're
right.
contributing to and what's going on. So I think we all try to educate our players as to what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, you educated us today, and we appreciate it greatly. All the best. If we don't talk to you again, I don't know if we're going to bug you before summertime gets through, but have a good summer, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the fall. Thanks, as always, Ken.
Yep, take care.